There's a beautiful anthropology in the Lutheran confessions. If you understand yourself the way the Lutheran confessions understand man, if the anthropology of the Lutheran confessions is your anthropology, you're not going to be one of those people who walks around suffering from lack of identity, that can't figure out why you're here, or feels no purpose in life, or has to find artificial sorts of stimulus to keep on going. Yeah, this is a great and a marvelous thing. When you think of yourself as a creature of God, whom he called into existence at this juncture in history, not 100 years ago or 200 years ago when this country was founded, but right now in these terrible times. He must have had a lot of confidence in your generation to save you for these days. But you can face them if you have a correct theology and a correct anthropology. And remember, correct theology is this: whoever knows that he has a gracious God in Christ Jesus truly knows God. Immediately, you got a correct anthropology. He also knows himself to be for a care to God. Creature of God of great and marvelous dignity. However, the reason that we don't understand often really the dignity that is ours as creatures of God is because we see ourselves ruined and spoiled by sin. And that's the next thing that we need to talk about. We are creatures, that is true, but we are fallen creatures. When first created, of course, human beings came forth from the creative hand of God in a state of integrity. Sin was not in the world from the beginning. It came only later through the instigation of Satan. On page 414, paragraph 28, Luther explains what that situation was. When we were created by God the Father and had received from him all kinds of good things, the devil came and led us into disobedience, sin, death, and all evil. We lay under God's wrath and displeasure, doomed to eternal damnation as we had deserved. Now man, on account of this seduction of Satan, lives in a state of corruption. We just read the paragraph that explains how it was generated in our first parents by Satan. Now it's very important to note this in order to avoid the impression that human sin had its origin in man, as though man were created with the propensity to sin. The fall account represents the inducement to disobey God as coming from without man, from Satan. And it is the teaching of the scriptures and the symbols that as man was originally created, there was in him no inclination to disobey God. There was in him no rebellion against God. All this was introduced from the outside, from a wicked source, from a demonic origin, and was not created together with man. You'll notice that the Lutheran confessions do not try to create or do not try to explain the origin of evil. There's a difference between discussing the origin of sin and the origin of evil. I wonder, would anybody care to explain what the difference between the two problems is? The difference between attempting to explain the origin of evil and the origin of sin. Donald?
You can say that sin originated in man, but evil originated in sin.
Yeah, the origin of evil, yes.
Well, the one is a philosophical, or at least something that is a somewhat problematic, the origin of evil, because we don't know why God allowed it, and it's, at least we have, people have pondered that, where the origin of sin obviously is rooted in evil, and so that doesn't pose the same kind of problem.
This is the problem that I was talking about. I just wanted to talk about this for a minute in order to make sure that we understand what we're talking about here. Is the origin of sin among human beings. We are not talking about the origin of evil in the universe. The origin of evil in the universe is and will remain a mystery. We have no way of explaining. And God has not explained in His Word how it occurred. The closest thing that you have in the Holy Scriptures about the origin of evil is that angels rebelled against God. But again, what induced them to do this? And where did this evil origin? This is why some people have posited two eternal principles, principles of good and evil, that are in eternal warfare and conflict, and are the result, in fact, of everything that goes on. That's the dualistic view of the universe. Many Eastern religions and philosophies operate with that concept. The Christian religion is not dualistic. It does not believe that evil is eternal, an eternal principle, that there are two eternal principles, good and evil. That sometime evil came into existence. However, we have no information in the scriptures and have no way of solving the problem about how evil originated. We do know, though, how sin entered into human history. That we know. The Bible teaches it. Donald?
So the reason it's saying that Satan is a positive force of evil.
You can say he is evil, but I don't know whether you can say that you could probably say it, but it'd be pretty hard to demonstrate that he is the source of evil, that he originated evil. Evil came from him initially. It's a mystery, and we don't know. We just don't know how to talk about it.
Yes. I was rather shocked. I charged it up to senility. But my wife's granddad has always been a very well-read person, quite scholarly as far as minus a formal theological training. And I reject what he said about Kazandi, but he said that trying to explain that God created evil. Well, that I don't buy at all. But God is perfect. God is righteous. He cannot create it. But it almost seems to me, in a sense, that if we don't try to tackle that to some degree, ultimately we almost have to, not that we will, but we almost have to push it back to the next origin, which is God.
You get involved, yes, in a mystery that is beyond resolution by the human mind, and you're either going to have to operate with the notion of a finite God or an evil God, one or the other. In the end.
We reject the letter.
the big problem with philosophers is this. This is why, for instance, Edgar Sheffield Brightman in our country proposed the doctrine of the finite, infinite God. What has been disturbing philosophers for centuries is this. if God is truly good, then he cannot be omniscient or omnipotent. Because if he is truly good and omnipotent, he would not have permitted evil. Now, most people like to believe that God is at least good. And so if they want to deny some attribute, they'll deny his omnipotence. They'll say God is good, but he is not full in control of everything. That's how evil occurred. In fact, like Edgar Sheffield Brightman says, that God has with his own, in his own being, asserted that he is trying to overcome. That makes it impossible for him to forestall and absolutely prohibit the development of evil in the world. So this is the dilemma that philosophers have posed. Either God is good and not omnipotent. If there is evil in the world, now remember, then you have to assume that either God is good and not omnipotent, or else he is omnipotent and not good. He could have kept evil out, but didn't. That makes him wicked. And that's where you're bound to end up with human reason, if you begin to explore what is the source of evil. And that's why I'm trying to point out, we're not talking about the source of evil in the universe here. We're talking about how sin entered human history. That's all. Yes.
Well,
2 points then. Could you say that God is good and omnipotent, but not God might is omnipotent?
In the sense of the
immutable
will of God.
Which would mean he'd permit evil. Well, he obviously permits it, or it wouldn't be here.
See, that we go track the omnipotence.
Yeah.
Second point is that, okay, scriptures don't say where evil originated. Could this be a legitimate case where we would have to use just our reason to figure out that, well, I mean, it couldn't have originated with God because he is good. The Bible tells us that. Therefore, it must have originated with Satan.
Yeah, we. You can probably speculate, but in matters such as this, speculation usually is relatively useless. We don't solve anything anyway. We just cope with the two facts. There is evil in the world. That's one fact that I don't think anybody would deny. The other fact, there is a good and gracious and omnipotent God. Now, how the two can be reconciled is deeply beyond human capacity, and we just let them both stand. That's about all you can do. Yes.
Has there been an attempt in the Lutheran Church to sort of combine sin and evil, and trying to get away from that philosophical dilemma, and do so by saying that Satan is a personification of evil?
I'm not sure there's been really much discussion about this problem in Lutheran literature at all. They kind of just recognize that there's evil in the world and confess what the Bible teaches about a good and an omnipotent God, and don't try to reconcile the paradox or the dilemma. Whenever Lutheran literature talks about, however, the introduction of sin into human lives and history, then it gets very explicit. Then it says Satan did that. Men were not created with some kind of a flaw, a propensity to sin, an inclination to rebel against God. We're totally absent in our first parents. All that was introduced from the outside by Satan. Now, how Satan got wicked and rebellion and rebellious and evil, nobody attempts to explain, yes.
Brings up the point of, if Satan were the origination of evil, then what made him turn bad? You have to assume when God created the angels or made the angels, he created them good also, as he created man. So what was the inclination that Satan had to be? We're so used to Satan being sinful, you know, and being the origination of evil, the origination of sin for man in the world, that we never think of him ever being perfect at any one time.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, the devil himself was once a good angel, according to the scriptures, and rebelled against God and is now reserved in chains for the day of judgment. So he was a good angel. Where did this evil come from that infected him if he was good? A man was good. It didn't generate in him, you know, a kind of spontaneous combustion or something. Man was created good. And the evil that he finally got involved in didn't just kind of hatch in himself. It was injected from the outside. It came from Satan. His rebellion was really generated by an evil force outside of himself. Yes.
I was going to say, I wonder whether we have to see that. I've always had trouble trying to see why evil has to be created, per se, and it seems to be just a natural, when God gave angels and man free will, it seems that evil was something that was necessarily a possibility. And that's why I don't see why evil has to be created, per se.
Maybe you got a point there. Sometimes we talk about evil as though it were a positive factor of some type, when it really isn't. It's the absence of good. And in creatures who were created with the capacity to obey or disobey.
And freedom is a good thing too, rather than make us robots.
Yeah. Well, this is why, for instance, you had the tree in the Garden of Eden. God wanted an obedience from Adam and Eve that was willing, not a kind of an obedience that they had to render because they were programmed to do it, couldn't do anything else. That's why they had to have a choice. But it was Satan when Adam and Eve were confronted with the choice, of course, generated in them the desire to rebel against God. In us, it is inherited. 445, paragraph 6. Or 66. What is the old man? He is what is born in us from Adam. Irascible, spiteful, envious, unchaste, greedy, lazy, proud, yes, and unbelieving. He is beset with all vices and by nature has nothing good in him. So original sin is in us, it's inherited. And it is aggravated by Satan. 374, paragraph 71. The appropriate words in that sentence is, the devil, who is ever around us, lying in wait to lure us into sin and shame. In 378, 100. There again, it is said that it is the devil who neither day nor night relaxes his efforts to steal upon you unawares and to kindle in your heart unbelief. And all those passages which are listed there are the same effect. That Satan perpetually tries to aggravate our sinfulness by leading us into rebellion against God, unbelief, shame, disobedience, vice of every type. And if he had his way, he would bring us into final and complete and eternal ruin. And so what the catechisms say about man's fallenness is that in our first parents, it was generated from the outside by Satan. In us, it is born. We're born with it. And it is aggravated by the perpetual assaults of the devil, who wants to bring us into God's judgment and eternal misery.
Yes. Wondering in what respect Luther could say in this last quote here on 378 that we are under the dominion of the devil. He's referring, I would think, obviously to someone who is a Christian, who is in Christ, who has been freed, as he has said over and over again, from sin, death, and power of the devil.
Now read his sentence. Even though you know the word perfectly, so he's not talking about somebody who is completely spiritually illiterate. Even though you know the word perfectly and have already mastered everything, still you are daily under the dominion of the devil.